Podcast, Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me, as always, is Jody Havnot.
What's up, Podcast Rock City peeps?
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Hi.
What?
That's our thing?
Come on, dude. You're letting the fans down.
I got nothing.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so last week you guys listened to our review of the first half of the Gene Simmons interview done by the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla, Chris Jericho. We reviewed his interview with Paul Stanley a few months ago, if it was even that long ago, and we loved it. So when the Gene one came out, we immediately did it. The first half of the interview, we all agree, was boring. The second half was where it really went, you know, it got good and more interesting. And before we get into that, I want to throw a few things out there. I want to do a little bit of advertising. Please go on iTunes and give us a review. Please go to podcastrockcity.com and buy a t-shirt. Take a picture of yourself in the t-shirt and send us the picture. That would be awesome. And don't forget, at the end of every show, we always have an Ask Andrew question. Please make sure that you send us your Ask Andrew questions to podcastrockcity1, that's the number one, @gmail.com. Let's get started.
Make sure it's a family-friendly question.
Yeah. Yeah. The first few weren't, you know. Okay, anyway. Okay, so last week we talked about the beginning stuff where Gene basically explained why rock and roll is dead. And we all agreed with what he was saying, you know. It's basically, the shows like American Idol and shit like that aren't looking for artists. They're just looking for singers. This second half of the show, he got a little bit more into Kiss. He got a little more into Ace than I expected. And he told a few stories, which I thought was cool. But the first thing I want to talk about, and I want to bring up, because my man Jody is a big Ramones fan.
Right.
And Gene's statement that the Ramones were are a failed band because of the fact that they did not have the success, even though Gene was making sure that he said, this is one of my favorite bands.
Right.
But he was saying they're a failed band because they did not have the success that they were shooting for. How do you feel about that? Fuck you, Gene! Fuck you!
Well, I mean, it's all relative. I mean, the Ramones were happy, you know, they were happy with what they were doing, you know, and they still were culturally very successful. I mean, look at what they invented and what it's still being copied to this day, just as much as Kiss did, you know?
Sure. And I can honestly say that, well, I don't know.
Gene Simmons is going to look at it from a monetary point of view, but
from a business
point of view, an art standpoint, the Ramones probably did more for rock and roll than Kiss ever did.
He doesn't see it that. Remember, he said, "Like, who cares if you have credibility?" Like in his mind, that doesn't mean anything.
Right. Because he was basically saying, "Who, you know, when somebody says that you're great, who are you?"
Mm-hmm.
He's like, if the fans are the judge.
Yeah, but the Ramones always had a big, a huge audience. I mean, they played clubs, but, you know, some bands are meant to play clubs, and you get a more organic experience, and it's sometimes a little bit more fun than, you know, the band that's 40 feet from the front row. You know what I mean?
I could not see the Ramones, like, visually, I cannot see them at, like, an amphitheater. That's no disrespect to them.
Right. Well, I can tell you this, man. I saw the Ramones.
I saw the Ramones at an amphitheater.
I saw them in a club as well a couple times, but when they played Lollapalooza, I think it was, what, 90... Fuck, I don't even know, 95 or something. It was, like, all these kids that were there to hear, like, you know, grunge. All of a sudden, the Ramones come on, and they're, like, the best band in the fucking world, and these kids have no idea about it, and they're not even, like, standing up or anything. It was brutal. I was on the lawn, and I couldn't even get anywhere near the band, which the last time I'd seen the Ramones before that was in a tiny place that holds maybe about you know, a couple hundred people.
Wow.
And that, and so it's like, you know, it's just apples and oranges. I prefer a smaller gig, a little more intimacy.
Right. I prefer sweat. Bananas.
I mean, the last time I saw Ramones in a club, dude, people were getting passed over the crowd to the security just to get them out because people were getting crushed.
Wow.
Jesus.
It was so hot in there, you know?
When I saw them, it was here in Atlanta at this thing called the Big Day Out, and it was an all-day music festival. They headlined.
Nice.
And the bands were that played were like Cake, Silverchair. Remember Silverchair?
Yeah.
But they were still kids.
Really? This was 90s.
Yeah, their first album was out. So this is probably 93 or 94.
Right.
I remember Cake being there. I remember, Blind Melon. And that was like a month or two before their singer died. So,
right.
But the Ramones came on, and I'd never seen them before, and I was excited. And I was on the lawn, and I just remember I was like, I didn't know what to expect. But the one thing that always, besides the fact that I knew more songs than I thought I did. But
right.
The other thing that was really funny is because it was just like the beginning of every song was 1, 2, 3, 4, but it just went right into
it. Oh, yeah. I love that.
And I was like, wow, that's just like their thing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so that was really cool. I wasn't anywhere close, but it was pretty awesome. It was a lot of fun. So we all agree that the Ramones had exactly the success that they were shooting for.
I think they wanted to be on radio, you know. I mean, they've come out and said that in past interviews and everything, but it just wasn't in the cards. They were punk rock, and they got ruined in America by the Pistols.
Mm-hmm.
And all their, you know, safety pins and stupid mohawks and fashion. The Ramones weren't about that, you know. The Ramones had long hair.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like these mohawk safety pin gonna puke on you punks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were the godfathers of the scene, they didn't look anything like that. It wasn't, you know, mall punk fashion shit.
No, it was about the fucking music.
Yeah, I mean, it was a throwback to 50s and early 60s music. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Some of the other stuff that Gene talked about, one of the things that I love, of course, being a big Ace fan, I love it when they talk about Ace, especially when it's not negative. You
right.
know? And when he started talking about how they had to push Ace to sing, he didn't want to sing. You know, he said he wanted to be more of a Jimmy Page. You know, he didn't want to write songs and he didn't want to sing songs. He just wanted to play. And
what album is he talking about, though? Or is he just talking about it in general?
He's talking about in general. They had. Didn't he say they had to push him in order to get him to write a song? And his first song that he wrote was Cold Gin.
Yeah, and then Gene said that he helped, like, he wrote the.
The bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he said that he added that. And then he also, it was really strange because he also made sure that he said, I wrote this part, but I'm uncredited.
Right.
Because we wanted this to be Ace's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then they wanted Ace to sing it, and he said, no, you sing it. And Gene wound up singing it. And I've heard Ace sing it, and, you know, both are good.
Yeah. Do you think it was weird in the reunion when Ace stepped up and did a verse?
Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah, it always made me feel weird when they did Shout It Out Loud, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Ace, yeah, I hear you.
Ace is like, come on and shout it out! I'm like, no!
What about Unplugged when he does the whole, what?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's so funny.
Love that. I love that.
So perfect. Anyway, you know, Ace was Page-esque. You know, he was like the Jimmy Page of Kiss. But, you know, Gene made sure that what he was saying was we really wanted to be the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Heavily got into the Beatles, which I found really cool. A Beatles head myself.
Yeah, I'm not really a big Beatles fan, but
I'm not.
But I found it very interesting. That the Gene, go ahead, Andrew.
Oh no! After you.
Well, I thought it was really interesting how they mentioned that the title of every song was like in the first.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that's mastery. That's fucking songwriting mastery.
It really is. I never paid attention to that until Gene said that.
And you can think of like at least 30 or 40 other ones that have the same deal too. I started going through them in my head as I was listening.
Yeah. Even Chris Jericho was like, oh my God, you're right. You know, it's just like, and Gene, you know, who obviously is a student of the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell, you know, from listening to them, he really paid attention. You know, I can even tell you that I read not long ago that Kiss and the Beatles, Kiss followed the Beatles so closely that you can even find a photo session where the Beatles are taking pictures under lights, like, and each member had their own color, and they were the same colors as Kiss used.
Really? Like the aura colors?
Yeah, but Gene was red, but Paul wasn't red as the bass player. Other member, you know, it was switched around.
Yeah, but still.
But still, it was the same blue.
Well, even the first album, they kind of, it's kind of like Meet the Beatles a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Could have heard Ringo saying, fuck you, you ball-bag motherfuckers.
I think that they were even trying to say that they were trying to get this Beatles feel to, which, it's not stupid. It's smart. It worked for them. Mm-hmm. Why not do exactly the same thing that they did? You know, Gene said we wanted four writers, four singers, you know, four personalities, just like the Beatles had, and they succeeded massively.
I think KST said it best. Shout out you guys. I know I bring it up every fucking episode. They love
you. They love you.
We love them.
We love them.
They got mad at me this week for not posting our last show.
Really?
Yeah, because I was really busy. I was really busy, and they were like, well, since Joe's not going to put out the new show, I'm going to. And they put out the new show.
Sweet. That was funny.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I think they said it best, though, and it's true. It's what's better than Superman or Batman, Justice League. If you don't like one, maybe you'll like the other better, and they'll make more that way, and right. They'll be bigger that way.
Absolutely. You know, that was their thing, you know, and it only makes sense. It's like if you look at somebody and he's building a deck, you know, on his house, and he gets it done in an hour, why would you do it opposite? You do it the same. You follow.
Well, you might do it safely, though, because yes. If it's only taking him an hour, then maybe he's half-assed.
thank you, Andrew. But, I don't know where the logic is ruined, but my whole point is you success. You see success, you should do things the way the person that's successful did it. It only makes mm-hmm. sense. You know, the Kiss, you know, they even did what the Beatles did as far as, like, you know, trying new things musically.
But, you know, now, Joe, the world don't turn to the beat of just one drum. It might be right for you. It might not be right for some.
You know, the world don't move.
Yeah, hopefully you don't have to pay for any
in
of that.
In Canada, they're just figuring out.
We just got different.
It's like prime time fucking programming, different strokes.
Hey, Andrew, you want to hear some real news?
Yeah.
We walked on the moon.
What?
Holy crap, we got to the moon!
I just found this out that they had to be quarantined a week after just in case there was some weird moon germs or something like that. But
yeah.
Wallace and Crumman had it wrong. The moon isn't made of Wensleydale, as they thought.
That's pretty funny.
What about that episode of Different Strokes where, like, this old man's trying to molest Arnold?
Oh, that
my God.
At the bike
that.
Shop?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to bring
that set up in the back of a bike shop. Get the hell out of there.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Did the right thing by telling an adult.
Right.
Yes. And kids, you do the same thing.
Yes, you do.
Yes. If somebody puts their hand on your hiney, run to the police.
What the fuck? All right.
Okay.
There's a time to say edit that out.
No,
then.
I'm not editing it out. It's funny.
Well, no, it's good PSA, but I just feel weird.
Well, get your hand out of your pants. Anyway, okay.
I need an adult.
Okay, so, okay, what else in the what else was in this interview? The
I liked when he was telling the story about Ace saving Ace's life and how Ace wanted to, like, thank him and went through all these details, and Gene's like, yeah, check, check, yeah, check, check. And he's like, but that was Peter Criss.
Right.
That's funny, man.
Well, you know, the other thing that's really interesting about it was because you and I both interviewed JR.
Right.
From the original Kiss crew. And if my memory is correct, he saved Ace's life.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I remember him saying that.
If I remember that correctly, he said that he was the one, I guess, was he with Moose?
I think so.
I think they knocked the door down and they went in, and so now I'm not really sure, you know, what's going on, but I was pretty sure that's what JR said.
Do right. I?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Goathead.
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 That's old school.
Anywho, yeah, I just thought it was a little weird that Gene, like, he prides himself that he's not a classically trained musician, but he takes the time to learn several different languages. You think, wouldn't he have time to work on his craft and learn how to read and write music? Maybe that would better him as a songwriter.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I'm just saying, without it.
No, he was doing fine without it, but, like, if he's learning...
Go ahead, I'm sorry, buddy.
Well, you see my point, like, when he's learning all these other languages and whatnot, do you think he'd take the time to learn how to read music?
Maybe.
I don't know, that's what I thought. But
I think what he was trying to explain was that, you know, it came from inside his head rather than, you know...
No, I know that, but I think if, like, you're a professional musician and you want to better your craft, why not expand? Like, you don't even have to use it, but just expanding your knowledge. He's doing that for all other fields except for music, which is what's making him famous.
Right.
Right.
Well, I'm not saying that'll make him better, but just at least giving that a try. Like, you'd think if he's learning all this other new stuff.
Right, yeah. So basically what you're saying is how could he through all those years, you know, with the brain on his shoulders, him not go...
Man, unless it's just he's so, just not obsessed, but, like, idolizes Paul McCartney so much, and he sees the blueprint that Paul had, that he just wants to follow that, so maybe that's it. I'm just saying, though, like, if he prides himself on being a man who loves, like, who's very cultured and loves to learn different things... Why wouldn't he learn how to read music eventually?
I think he's like, man, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You
that's
know what I mean?
That's true, though. I guess you're right in that sense. But it was just a thought I had.
And, you know, and Gene was always, you know, Gene and Paul were always, their philosophy was that rock and roll came from your dick, not your brain.
I guess that's true.
You know, so if you're... You know, thinking about it too much, I guess.
I don't know, I guess I'm just too big of a Randy Rhoads fan.
No, you can't be too big of a Randy Rhoads fan.
That's true.
Have you heard the Randy Rhoads tribute that Bob Kulick did?
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man.
I have not heard that, but that is a hell of a good segue.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you just interviewed Bob tonight.
Yes, I did.
And it will be...
So awesome.
another strange... Will it be the next Strange Ways, or...?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be the next one that'll come out.
Sweet!
It's kind of a shorter thing, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. Okay, so
good
what
thing
else?
You didn't have me on there, because it would have been like, got anything to add, Andrew?
Andrew would have been like, you're Bruce's brother, right?
I get starstruck easily.
Do you really?
You should have seen him when Adam Smith was on Strange Ways.
Oh, I was giddy like a schoolgirl.
Oh, I listened to it.
It was very disturbing.
It was funny.
Sorry about that, everyone who had to hear that.
Andrew, you're always apologizing. I love it. It's so Canadian.
Force of habit.
Canadian.
Sorry. Sorry.
Sorry.
So,
fucking a toad or so.
So anything else in the interview, you know, catch your... Hey, man, he came right out and said, you know, Ace almost missed the first show.
Right.
In the reunion.
Yeah.
That was cool like, when he talked about that flash paper, like, when he, instead of chucking over the audience,
threw it,
and some guy was standing on the chair.
Exploded in his fucking face.
Yeah, and he said half his face looked like melted cheddar cheese.
Jeez Louise, man.
Yeah, I'm so glad I missed that.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, and that's then he had the guy sign a waiver while he was trashed.
Don't sue.
Right. Yeah. Pretty smart, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
That's crazy to think that he was lobbing fucking explosives into the audience.
Yeah, he said he was trying to throw, it was gunpowder and flash paper, and he would throw it above the crowd and it would explode. And he threw one, he said it was like a strike pitch. He said this guy was standing up on a chair and it hit him right in the face.
You went a little walking there. This guy.
Right.
Standing on the chair. Threw it in his face. And he went, pow!
And he ended up with cheddar cheese on
cheddar
his
cheese
face.
Cheddar cheese on the side of his face.
That was pretty
Sorry,
interesting.
Sorry, folks, I've enjoyed a few tonight.
Yeah, I'd never heard that one before, man. That was a new one to me.
Yeah, I liked that.
I liked when Gene was kind of explaining how he does, you know, he does kind of like a unique bass lines.
And yeah, that was really
yeah, that
cool.
was when Chris Jericho actually said, you know, I think that people pass by the fact that you're a really great bass player.
He
said that you play a bass line that doesn't sound like what you would think the bass line would be.
Yeah, it's just it's another melody.
Yeah, it really is.
Which is ever... my favorite bass parts. Oh, sorry, Jody.
No, go ahead, brother.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what's exciting about bass player, like, Alex Webster from Cannibal Corpse. He's not just going, like, just, he's all over the, like, grid there. Like, he's not just following the chord. He's got his own melodies, too. And I know it's weird to hear the word melody in the same sentence as death metal.
Yeah, no,
but
no,
it's true. Or like Lemmy Kilmister, he doesn't play dun dun dun. It's very rhythmic, but also chord like. And yeah. So it's just those are my favorite bass players when the note when the bass doesn't necessarily follow the guitar, but has its own distinct melody line, and you can actually hear it.
Yeah, that all goes back to McCartney for Gene. You know,
sure,
what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's good. Yeah.
Have you guys ever tried to play bass and sing what Gene does?
No, it's so
That's what's
hard.
Crazy is that he could sing while he's playing that shit.
Dude, yeah. I can't sing or play anything, though. It's one or the other, and I can't sing either way. So,
well, I mean, look, if you just sit back and think about the bass line in, like, Detroit Rock City, it's like it would have been so easy for him just to thump on that root for that part, but instead it's bump, ba-ba-da-ba-da.
And that's no slag against bass players that do that, because there are some fantastic, like Ian Hill from Judas Priest.
Yeah.
You don't get more solid than that when it comes to bass, or Steve Harris. Well, even Steve Harris has a lot of melody lines.
Yeah, but being in the pocket when you play, there's nothing wrong with that. But
that takes a lot of talent too. To just be that dead on.
But being Gene, you know, I feel uptight on a Saturday. You know, I would have never come up with something like that. You know, it's just like you listen to it and you're like,
you know what? That's what makes Detroit Rock City even more of a memorable song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
the
a lot of bands, they don't do air. Like they don't do air bass for a lot of bands in the world. But if you hum like an air, like a bass line, like then that's what makes it more memorable too, and it makes it more special. And I might be biased now since I'm playing bass a lot more these days. But yeah,
I love bass. I mean, hell yeah.
Yeah,
Gene Simmons is totally underrated as a bassist.
Yeah, you know, and then that's another. I mean, because of what I do for a living, where I work in a music store, I got a lot of Nazi blues and jazz guys that I do, you know, and they're always,
that's why I'm lucky. I got a cool music store.
Yeah, yeah. My music store is cool. It's just
I'm not saying it's not cool.
No,
sorry.
No, I know what you're saying.
I'm half of the bank here, man. Give me a break.
I'm just effing with you. No, but you know, I've got guys that you know that work with me that are like 30 years old and. And, you know, wish they were born in the 20s and black, you know, so they
can. A lot of Django Reinhardt stuff.
Yeah, And, you know, so they'll be like, they'll come into work and they'll go, hey, Joe, so what the hell is get up and get your grandma out of here mean? I'll be like, oh, thanks, guys. I love, you know. And I'm like, so you're a big Rush fan? He wrote a song about trees, right?
Hey.
This is like, and they're like, well, it's a metaphor, and I'm like, oh my god, okay, thank you. Anyway,
well, you can, if it's jazz musicians, then just make a heroin joke or something.
Yeah,
like that.
No, I have this guy that used to work for us, and I'm not going to say his name because he sucks as a human being. But he said that all a jazz drummer sounds like is he took his kit and threw it down a flight of stairs.
No slag on jazz. Like,
I don't mind. You know, I don't mind jazz, but I've noticed that the local jazz musicians, they think they're so much better than on the rock and rollers. Dude, you know.
See, I like casual jazz, like borderline lounge music, just to sort of decompress to and relax. But
I can't even explain that. I mean, like, I have been working around jazz musicians like on a one-on-one basis for almost 13 years. And I can tell you that they take their craft very seriously. And mm-hmm. It's like,
well, yeah, they have to. They're better than everyone else.
Yeah, but. And not to mention, I saw a sax player one time lose his mind on another sax player because he overheard the second sax player describe him as a bebop player rather than whatever. I don't know. But I was like, really? This is, you guys are arguing?
That'd be like subgenres and shit.
Yeah, they do. It's like somebody walking up to me and going, man, I really like your band. It's kind of
really
like
emo.
And I was like, but they get paid too, man. Those jazz musicians do.
Yeah, they do. It's because they take themselves so seriously.
Story.
Yeah.
Go.
I do too, man. I do too. Believe it or not.
Well, let's hear yours too.
It's not. Well, I used to. You know, I've worked at music stores most of my life too, teaching guitar and bass and shit. And same scenario, man. There's this guy that worked there, a jazz guy, sax player. He thought he was like God's gift to music or whatever. And so, you know, I've always done session work at studios and shit. And this session I was doing, we were doing like an old school Chuck Berry, you know, 1/4 5er in B flat, right? So I'm like, how about you come over and wail a fucking sax solo on this shit, man? Old school rock and roll style. And he's like, okay. So I bring him to the studio, we smoke a joint, and this guy, I don't even know what the fuck he was doing, man, but it ended up with like me telling him to fuck off and that his, he had no kind of chops. The whole thing is like, you know, isn't jazz supposed to be improvisational? I mean, isn't that by definition what it is? But this guy wanted me to give him music, like write it out what I wanted him to play, a sax part. And I'm like, dude, what about this improvisation? I want you to come over and just improv, you know, improv a badass sax solo on this 1/4 5 and fucking B flat. And he could not do it.
Wow.
And so ever since then, man, those kind of people leave a bad fucking taste in my mouth, dude. I just, those jazz dudes, they think they're all that, and then when you want them to do something simple, they can't do it. All
right, Andrew, yours.
Okay, so in grade 10, I like had to take a music class, and well, I know it sounds funny because I play guitar and bass, but I just mean like a classical music class. So, yeah, I was assigned tenor saxophone. And so basically right before, like, I had a solo piece, this guy nudged me, like, nudged my arm, and the reed jammed in my gums.
Oh, no way.
And I pulled it out, and I started just bleeding all over, and everyone called me Bleeding Gums Murphy. But, like, at lunch, I was picking out pieces of the reed out of my gum. So, yeah, that's my funny saxophone.
That is funny.
I kept that reed. I wonder where it is, but yeah, it's like it's absorbed and it's blood. There's blood in there.
So you're like Gene Simmons, sort of.
Yeah, so I.
It goes back to the whole Andrew Kiss thing.
Yeah, it's weird awesome. How that works.
Bleeding.
My geography teacher in grade 10 called me Gene Simmons, too.
What was with the Murphy thing, though?
Bleeding Gums Murphy? That's a Simpsons reference.
I didn't get it.
Oh, like when Lisa plays with. Yeah, just like when she's trying to discover herself and then like she hears a saxophone and the player in the distance and it's that older guy.
Okay.
And his Bleeding Gums Murphy, so that's what they told me for a bit.
See, what everybody out there is trying to figure out now, and it's something that we all know, it's that Andrew went to high school in this century, not the last.
I thought you were just going to say we're all trying to figure out Andrew did, in fact, go to high school.
No, he went to high school in this century.
Yes.
So all of his references are in this century, even though The Simpsons are from last century.
It's that was still, an old Simpsons
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, I guess it was. But still, you know what this leads us to?
Oh, no. Can we have like a saxophone intro? Can
oh, I don't have a saxophone.
Like a sexy
intro.
Sax.
A sexy sax. This leads us to Ask Andrew. Anyway, so Ask Andrew, every week we get your letters and your questions for Andrew, our 21-year-old KISS fan.
Going on 17.
Yes, that's right.
Sound abuser.
Yes. Anyway, okay, good grief.
Sorry. What the fuck?
He's always saying sorry because he's Canadian-ish. Anyway. All
from
right.
Canada.
From Canada. And,
take off to the great big top.
And he's a young KISS fan, so people are always interested in, you know, his opinion on, you know, things that we've always thought of. So, this week's question comes from somebody named Julie. There's no last name, and it's just Julie.
It's like Shelly.
Yeah, like Cher or Madonna.
Very sophisticated. Julie.
What up, Julie?
Okay.
How many of you have been hurt by your man?
I'm letting you know this is a hard question because not even I have an answer for it. I would change every day. Okay. If you could...
You can change the record, but don't start.
Go back in time and steal one instrument from KISS. What would it be?
It would be Tommy Thayer. No, I'm kidding. Oh, wow.
Tommy's organ, huh?
one. Is there a time frame or any amount
back
of history?
Yeah.
Oh, Julie, you're killing me here. Because there's the Iceman. I'm also starting to play bass a lot more, so... You're going to have to edit out this dead silence, too.
No, I'm not editing anything.
So everyone's just going to wait here for like 2 minutes. Okay.
It's a tough question from Julie.
That is tough. You want fucking BC Rich Mirrored Warlock.
Okay, that's a good one. Watch, I bet Jody's sitting there. He knows already. Jody, what would you get?
I don't know, man. That's a tough one. Before I went out and said that I wanted that BC Rich, the leopard print one that's on the creatures, but... I think today I might go with, like, that LeBeau fucking Gene Simmons bass. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
They just use it on, like, Destroyer.
I think I would like the 59 Les Paul.
Right. That's too obvious.
Yeah, but still.
Right.
You sounded like the Chemicals a bit there. Just, that's too obvious.
It's too obvious. Yeah, but that's you just know? Such a classic. You know, even his Black Beauty.
Oh, I like the black one, especially with the white binding and the white DiMarzios.
Yeah.
That's tight.
What about that Firebird, like, in Winterland? I really like Firebirds.
The one that, like, Paul had painted flat black.
Oh. I prefer the...
You like the wooden?
Yeah, but also, those tunic pegs bugged me, how it was, like, it's not on, like, the top, but it's sticking out at the side at, like, a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
Well, 90, depending on where you're looking. I just, like, replace that with regular tuning pegs, and that would be a good contender.
You know what?
But no, since I'm a BC Rich guy myself and own a Warlock, I'd probably want a mirrored one.
Yeah, go.
Can I change my vote?
Of course. No problem, Andrew.
Oh, fuck you guys. I don't sound like that. Can I change my vote?
No, I think I'm going to go with that fucking Body Glove Steinberger today.
Wait,
just because
no,
it's ugly. It's just ugly enough for me today.
Oh man, that's pretty funny. What was the bass that what was it called? A Gibson Grabber, remember?
Those are awesome.
Yeah, it had this, you know,
the sliding pickup
slid.
Yeah.
You could slide it up and down. Have you ever noticed that before, Andrew?
I think I did.
Yeah, he played it, and you know, the coolest thing, we got one in the store one time, and
things
I was
weigh
like,
a ton, man.
Oh,
solid
yeah.
mahogany.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And the bait, you know, and the pickup moves forwards and backwards, so you could get, you know, that was just, you know, when you think about it, you're like, man, what a interesting, you know.
Yeah, it's kind
of. I really dig his Punishers too.
Yeah, like, my friend
I don't really one. Like the newer ones, like the individual sort of silver and gold, and like black, you know, just like those weirder looking ones that he sells after the gig. I'm not a big fan. I like that classic black with the white pinstripes.
Yeah, the white binding.
It's pretty cool. Those are really cool.
Those things, everyone that I've talked to that has one says they're really weighted funny, so like it's kind of like an SG, you know?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. My friend Lee has one. I've never held it before, but she seems to love it. This chick, she has an Axe bass, she has a Punisher, she has a Steve Harris, what is that, a Fender bass?
Oh my god,
she's
awesome.
She has a Michael Anthony,
Yamaha,
No, it's the whiskey one.
Oh, really? The Jack Daniels bass?
Yeah, Jack Daniels bass. And
Goddess of Thunder has all
this
shit?
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's awesome.
And she's a bass player in a band called Iron Mullet. Anyway, and they do everything from Dio to Maiden, and she plays all the bass lines dead on. I at one point, you know, remember, well, okay, let me back up a minute. She, during the, you know, they had that big auction where all that Kiss stuff, her and a buddy bought a pair of jeans boots, and she had one. I don't know what she did with it, because the last time I was at the house, I didn't see it, but on her leg, she also has all her favorite bass players' autographs and tattooed, from Gene to Michael Anthony, Nikki Sixx. I think Steve Harris was the last one, and I believe she got it. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. Really awesome. And people are sitting at home going, "This is not Kiss," but I promise you, it's all connected in one way or another. And that brings
us. Well, I'm sure they.
Yeah, go ahead. They get it. Get it. And that brings us to the end of the show. I appreciate you guys listening. And once again, I will ask the question, do you guys have anything to add?
See you next Monday.
Yes, see you.
Or Sunday for us.
Sunday for us, Monday for you. Andrew.
Yeah.
Anything to add?
Well, not in front of them. But
okay.
I don't know yet.
Okay, as soon as I hit the stop button, you can whatever you have to say.
I don't have to say anything.
Okay. All right. Don't forget, please listen to all the other podcasts that we love. From KS. Say what?
I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry.
Well, we're not in the same country. You can't see me. KST, the Kiss Room, the new Kiss Room show is out. Go listen to it. I will be listening to it tomorrow, the first hour on the way to work and the second hour on the way home. And it's, if you can catch it live, it's the second Friday of every month. And I promise you, it is completely and totally worth it. Don't forget Pod of Thunder and Podkiss and Decibel Geek and
Pods and Sods
and Watching You. And there's so many for us to name, and it's impossible to keep up with it.
Decibel Geek's got Mark Slaughter coming this week, I believe.
Oh, that's going to be good. I'm hoping that there's going to be some Eric Carr talk, because they were buddies.
Right. I'm sure there is.
It's also late to the party about their, but I really, really enjoyed their two-parter on Carnival of Souls. I finally checked it out this week, and goddamn, that was a fucking great episode.
Also, they have a new website. So go check out the Decibel Geek website, and we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros, where they celebrate and discuss the Gods of Thunder. Yes! You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
This is a really big moment.
Hi, I'm Cassius Morris, host of Kiss Podcast Creatures of the Net. Our show content includes current events of the hottest band in the land, exclusive interviews, and the trials and tribulations of being a KISS fan. You can check out our show at www.creaturesofthenet.com and on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't know the website name by now,
well, you better f***ing learn it!
We'll see you here.
Kistery Science Theater. The most civilized?
Yeah.
Oh, f***. Oh, f***. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass.
And serious.
No wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album?
Kiss podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this.
Then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommy's all right, their daddies are all right, they just seem a little weird. They even got their KISS records out. This is Ken from the PodKISS. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a KISS fan, chances are you checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the PodKISS feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
Someone, somewhere, is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of PodKissed. Tell a friend about PodKissed today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. PodKissed.
That's a picture of Joseph KISS Sr., who came up with the vision of KISS in 1753.
Right, that Joseph KISS.
That's, of course, a picture of him without makeup.
That's right, Mr. Joseph KISS Sr.
All right.